Senate will come to order. Roll call by the chief clerk.
Roll call for Tuesday, March 2nd. Anderson?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Elliott?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geist?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Honeycutt?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Meyer-S?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Sessions?
Here.
Townsend?
Here.
Von Platern?
Here.
President Hines?
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by the Reverend Robinson.
On okay? It is once again a privilege for me to be with you. Thank you for having me again this morning. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give thanks for this beautiful day that you have given to us. These days are becoming longer and growing warmer, and we give thanks for the promise of spring. We give thanks for all of your promises that we recognize this day. Help us to wait expectantly for the new life that comes from your hand and the new hope that can change our world. Help us not wait passively, but wait with commitment and confidence and faith. For we recognize that all too often it is the weakest and the smallest among us that are in need of a changed world. Too often hope is in small supply, commitment is lacking, and help is absent. But we are here with our hearts open and our lives willing, for you have given us so much and much is asked of us. We know that as we come together to work together side by side, you bless us in our diversity, in our conversations, and in our learnings. So guide us so that we might continue to work in hope, sharpen us so that our work might be effective, and use us today and always for the sake of those you love, who are hurting. May our time together, most of all, renew the commitment we have to one another and to you to be bearers of hope to those who need it most. May it be so. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March the 1st, 2010, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day is Kay Buchanan, MD from Torrington. We have no nurse scheduled today, and the thought is ability may get you to the top, but it takes character to keep you there. Okay. Have an announcement from the reading clerk.
Senators, I have two tickets to tonight's Wyoming Cowboy football game, basketball game. Well, they play it like football sometimes. Along with the two tickets are also a bus ride. You can ride the bus out of Uncle Charlie's bar. There's two seats on there that go along with these two tickets. The bus has a full bar on it. It's a free bar. You drink all you want, doesn't cost you anything. The bus drops you off right over at Willett West, picks you up right there. You don't need to take your coat in or anything. So if somebody is interested in going, the bus will leave at 6 o'clock. The game's at 7:30. get you over there in plenty of time. So if anyone wants the tickets, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the senators, if any of the staff want them, my wife and I are not able to go tonight, so enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Messages from the House.
March 1st, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message 223, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 65, Termination of Parental Rights, ayes 24, noes 29, excused 7. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Okay, Joint Conference Committee reports. Senator Nicholas, are you ready with message number 212, reference to Senate File 72? Reading clerk, please read in the Joint Conference Committee report.
Joint Conference Committee report, Senate File 72, Wyoming Retirement Plans Contributions 2, reference House Message 212. Signing for the House, Representative Pedersen, Teeters, and Throne. Signing for the Senate, Senators Nicholas, Cole, and Massey.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 216 to Senate File 72 and ask you to vote aye. This is the amendments to the Senate File 72, which was the Wyoming Retirement Plan contributions. You'll recall that the House had put an amendment on the budget to prohibit state employers from paying the employee share of the contribution. The difficulty with that amendment is, first of all, if a school district, for example, wanted to compensate its employees for that, they simply increase their salary. For smaller districts, smaller employees, there is an advantage on occasion to pay the employee share because there's no FICA paid on it, no Social Security, although some folks have wondered whether that's the case, but at least that's what we've been told. The effect of this is that the House has receded from their position, and this adopts the bill as it came out of the Senate. I'd ask you to vote aye.
The motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Message 212, reference to Senate File 72. And you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer? Meyer S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Bill's on second reading. Is that the only one we have? Okay, excuse me. By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 on message 212, reference to Bill Senate File 72. Bill's on second reading. Okay. House Bill 15, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 15, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Electrical Safety and Fire Prevention Revisions.
There is an amendment. Please read in the amendment.
House Bill 15, second reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 2.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, I'd like to withdraw that amendment.
Without objections, second reading amendment number 1 have been withdrawn to Senate File 15. House Bill 15. House Bill 15 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 18, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 18, sponsored by the Travel Committee, Aquatic Invasive Species 2.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 18, second reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 8, line 22.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 18. Fellow senators, I woke up in the middle of the night worried about my pipes after yesterday's discussion. And so I laid there and thought about it a little bit more and came in real quickly and took a look at the bottom of page 3, which, page 8. If you go to the bottom of page 8, that's where this particular bill talks about the fees that will be established. And one thing I didn't do yesterday was to track back to the white copy, and that's where you'll find the financial information that was requested by the Game and Fish. The Game and Fish established those fees just for the purposes of giving us a wild guess on what might be generated by some fees at $10 and $20. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have any problem with our boaters in Wyoming helping us to take care of this problem. In fact, I really commend the work of the committee to bring this piece of legislation. It's very important in Wyoming that we do this. The heartburn that I'm having is that we're throwing it all on the backs of the boat owners. So for that reason, I am proposing this particular amendment, which I think would set some rates at a reasonable rate for our boat owners. Right now, they pay a $15 fee on their boats. If we were to establish a $10 fee for in-state boats that would never even leave our state, that's a 67% tax increase for those who happen to own a boat. In visiting with the Game and Fish this morning, no matter where we set this fee, if we don't set that fee higher than the permit fee for a boat is today, we're not going to come close to paying for the cost of administering the regulatory provisions required under this article, which is exactly what that paragraph says. So this amendment simply says, you know, let's establish a fee to help offset the cost of administering this article, and that's what we would be doing. We would be helping to offset the cost. Rather than taking a particular segment of our population and taxing them to the tune of 60 or 70%, I would advocate let's put a reasonable fee on top of that. I think our boat owners, I think I speak for every one of them in saying that they want to keep our waterways clean as much as we do. And then this also kind of comes to the notion that we talked about yesterday, which is what really concerns us in this aquatic invasive species discussion is these out-of-state boats. Well, this says out-of-state boats are going to help us by paying a little bit more of a fee if we can get them stopped before they drop them into the water. It also says if you're going to take your Wyoming boat and cross a state line somewhere and bring it back into our state, that we would ask you to pay a little bit higher fee as well, because it's the out-of-state waters that we're concerned with. So that's the amendment. I would appreciate your support. Thanks.
Senator Burns.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. On and reluctantly against this amendment, I have no problem with the ratio of 3-1 outside votes to inside votes. That makes sense, and if the body wants to do that, I've got no problem with it. And if the sponsor of this amendment would like to come back on third reading with a ratio, a dictator ratio such as that, that's fine. But to sit there and tell Game and Fish that it has to be 5-15, I think goes beyond a swag, beyond a guess. The Game and Fish in the white copy just threw that figure in. They didn't know whether it was accurate, what it would cost. That's one of the reasons why it was pulled out. This is a brand new program. They don't know what the costs are going to be. And to sit there and restrict them to $5.15 when it should be 6-18 or 7-21, I think really puts a burden on Game and Fish. Mr. President, I would be glad to co-sponsor a third reading amendment with the sponsor of this to put the ratio of non-residents to residents in there. And keep in mind, residents also do take their boats out of state and come back in state with them. But I still agree with the ratio.
Senator Von Kleteren.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a question on the bottom there on that, on the amendment lines 14 through 17 on the B section. I would assume that a boater, a Wyoming resident, would assume the $5 was good and he had his sticker. But then if he does take it out of state, A, is he going to remember that he has to pay additional money when he comes back to use his boat? It looks kind of unenforceable in itself. I would tend to go with the good senator from Sheridan as far as maybe a ratio, but defining exactly how many, and you may have to buy two different stickers, that's a little too confusing.
Senator Doc Stetter.
Thank you, Mr. President. The confusion still continues, and it's rather unique to my neck of the woods, where we've got a body of water that's fed by three really great Wyoming rivers and deposited into a reservoir that's primarily in the neighboring state. And it's confusing because we'll launch our boats in Wyoming and within a few hundred feet, we're in technically in Idaho waters. So do we need two different stickers there? We come and go. The boat comes and goes across the state line in the water. So there's still some confusion there, and just based on that confusion, I'd have to be against the amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second time, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. At least for the idea of the amendment, I don't know if $5 and $15 is the right number, but what I am uncomfortable with is that what we've got in the bill right now is simply we've delegated that entirely to Game and Fish. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that if we have, if we end up having to eradicate these mussels from somewhere, that all of a sudden your boating license is going to be $100 or $200? I don't know what that is, but ultimately what we've got in the bill right now delegates that completely to Game and Fish to make that determination. And we all know how responsive Game and Fish is to political pressure. I say that obviously facetiously. So if you don't like this one, we need to come back with something, I think, that establishes at least an upper bound so that I think it's the responsibility of this body. We haggle over different fees for Game and Fish all the time, and we ought to at least inquire or at least establish some kind of upper limit instead of just delegate this completely.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciated the comments from everybody on the floor, and I think that speaks to the difficulty of this bill from the very start. There are some real question marks. In my visit with the department this morning, they indicated that through rules and reg, they're going to try their best to take care of what they need to do, depending upon what this body decides we want to do. Especially in relation to these fees. I appreciated the comments from the senator from Natrona, because that's exactly the heartburn that I was getting over this bill. We have 25,000 boats in the state of Wyoming. In order for this fee to generate enough money to even come close to the regulation and enforcement of this article, those fees for boaters are going to have to more than double. And I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, I just don't think that's a proper thing to do to a narrow segment of our population. I think it's reasonable to ask those boaters out there, you know, to pay a reasonable fee. But the rest of the state needs to help out in something as important as this. I think this is something that the Game and Fish has indicated to me, that if we establish these particular permits, up front, they're going to be asking people, if you're going to take your boat out of state, we're going to require a different sticker. You know, vote it up or vote it down, but I think it's a reasonable shot at giving our boaters some protection from what the good senator said, which is, hey, stand back. We don't know how big this thing's going to get.
Question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 18 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment have failed. Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, above you in the gallery there, you'll see a whole bunch of students from Kelly Walsh High School as they stand up. Also in that class, Mr. President, I see several members of the cast of Sold Out Greece over last weekend, which was a great play put on by Kelly Walsh. Would the Senate help me in welcoming the Kelly Walsh government class?
Welcome to the Senate. House Bill 18 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 19, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 19, sponsored by Representative Bagby, mandatory saving accounts for inmates.
House Bill 19, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 20, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 20, sponsored by Representative Bagby, criminal street gangs.
House Bill 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 34, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 34, sponsored by Representative Edmond, referendum on adopted ordinances petitions.
House Bill 34, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 36, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 36, sponsored by Representative Gingery, notaries.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 36, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 5, line 17.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 36 and ask for the Senate's favorable consideration. Mr. President, what this amendment basically does is, if you look at the top of the amendment, the bottom of the amendment, that's all just conforming language. The guts of the amendment is in the middle where it refers to page 10. And as you know, Mr. President, this bill basically recodifies the language in statute for notary publics, or notarial officers, as they're now called. In there, on page 10, it tells them how much they can charge for their services. Now, Mr. President, the state licenses all kinds of different professions in this state, attorneys, barbers, and so forth and so on. And nowhere does the state tell them what they can charge for their services, although in the case of attorneys, they probably should. But here, for some reason, in statute, we tell notary publics that they can charge $2 and only $2. And I first of all, immediately have a problem whenever you put a dollar amount in statute, it becomes obsolete. But the idea of telling them how much they can charge just made no sense to me at all. And so, Mr. Chairman, this amendment pulls that out. and does not tell them how much they can charge.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Rising against the amendment, first of all, the $2 charge is already in statute, and it's been at $2 at least since 1987. So this, that part of the statute is being deleted in the reorganization of that the bill is providing, and that's the reason for listing them on pages 10 and 11 at $2, is because that's been the customary fee. In fact, you know, based upon 32.1.1.12 and the references that follow it, it appears that some type of fee has been in place since 1882. So I don't think that this is certainly not a new notion when it comes to notarial officers. The other reason, Mr. President, that I think that we've charged fees or put a limit on fees for these folks as opposed to other professionals is because of the importance that notary publics play, because this is a public service. The service they provide is a very important part of commerce in our towns. And for places such as Laramie, you know, I could go to a notarial officer, and I know three or four that are probably within a mile that I could go to. But if I had to encounter the situation where there was different charges, you know, that would present somewhat of an obstacle as I try to figure out who has the best charges and what that might be on that particular day. But when you go into small communities, you could certainly run into a situation of gouging, especially if you have to have something notarized at the last minute. So, Mr. President, this is something that's been in statute for an awful long time. It is part of our commerce. In reality, it comes down to a policy decision on the part of the body.
Further discussion? Senator Burns, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm sorry if I gave the misimpression that this was a new fee being put in. No, it is there and has been there. But it's only through this bill that it frankly came to my attention. And I don't quite understand why the state would restrict notary publics or notarial officers now to only to $2. There are all kinds of situations in which public services are rendered by people who are licensed through the state. If I happen to be in jail and I have to call an attorney, is that attorney suddenly going to triple his rate to me because he has to come down and get me out of jail? It's not that different for a notary public or a notarial officer. And I don't quite understand why the state, these are people, even though they're licensed by the state, they are in private practice themselves. And I don't quite understand why the state sits there and tells them, you shall charge this amount, no more, no less. I frankly don't see a whole lot of difference between that and telling shoe stores in the state how much they can charge for shoes.
Question is, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 36 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment have failed. Division been called. All in favor of the amendment, please stand. Those opposed? The motion had failed. House Bill 36 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 44, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 44, sponsored by Representative Illoway, taxation of property used for economic development.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 44, second reading amendment number 1 to engross comp, page 2, lines 24.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I would, barring objection, ask to withdraw this amendment. It still needs a little more refining.
Without objection, second reading amendment number 1 will be withdrawn. House Bill 44, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 59, for second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 59, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Workforce Service Amendments.
House Bill 59, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 61, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 61, sponsored by Representative Throne, Legal Services Funding.
There is amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 61, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy.
Senator
page Meyer. 3, line 24.
Senator Meyer.
Which one's this? Oh, yeah. Okay. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment, or second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 61 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, as we embark on the socialization of the legal services in this state, I think, you know, it's probably wise to look back and see how we began socializing medicine. And if we look at the Medicaid model, we started with a list of those goods and services which the medical profession could provide. And we put limits on what we can and can't do. And we've said, for example, that we don't want to go down to Colorado and pay for transplants. Now, that's something that we just don't want to do. With this amendment and these restrictions, I think, Mr. President, I think what we're saying is that we don't want a high-profile advocacy case that's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayers' money. We don't want cases in district court that's going to cost a lot of money. We put some limitations on it. Now, this amendment doesn't bar any other group today offering legal services. In fact, the $650,000 or $700,000 that's out there and available today for legal services, if that's how those people want to spend those dollars, they're certainly free and welcome to do that. What this amendment does, Mr. President, is say that in the startup of this program, we're going to put some, I would say some sidewalls on this. And what we say is that for domestic relationships and civil services, and which shall include at a minimum. Now, it doesn't preclude other services, but it does say a dissolution of marriage, child custody, visitation, and child support. And it also goes on to say in subsection B, services provided in landlord and tenant manners. And it says other legal services provided funds shall only be expended on behalf of individuals seeking a monetary recovery in amount of an individual's demand does not exceed the jurisdiction of the circuit court. That's $7,500. So we're saying basically for $7,500 and under, the state is going to pay you your legal fees. And I really, you know, from my perspective, somebody may have heartburn with the landlord-tenant, and they may have heartburn with the state paying the legal services to sue another citizen who doesn't have that ability, who is above 200%. Maybe they're 202%, and they're going to get sued by somebody who's a 199% of poverty. And someone may have trouble with that. That's why this amendment is structured, Mr. President. So if it does pass, if you think that there isn't something that's on the list that should be on the list, in third reading, you can come back and put that on the list. If you think there's something that's on this list that shouldn't be there, on third reading, you can come back with an amendment and strip it off the list. Really, the question is whether or not you're going to have no restrictions at all on a new socialized program to pay for legal services, or are you going to have a list? This list, Mr. President, is only good until we go, until they determine how they're going to pay for everything. So this list isn't forever. This list is basically till they get their act together and find out how much it's going to cost, and they get their rules and regulations set up. So This is basically from that perspective, as the LSO attorneys have described it to me, is basically a stopgap measure to say this is the direction that we want you to go. And we may want to come back on third reading and say, no, this list is forever. But I think it's important that we do have some restrictions or at least some guidance to the Supreme Court, because we have no chance to look at what their rules are. Certainly we have the appropriation process, but this is a brand new socialized program, and I think that we need to work into it slow. I definitely believe that there are certain areas where the state in some circumstances, in child custody matters and in child support matters, actually on the behalf of one of the parties, pays for the attorneys or is an advocate for that side, where the other side is against the state already. And those definitely need to be taken care of. However, Mr. President, I think that the question is, if you vote for this amendment, you're voting for a concept of a list and some limitations. If you don't vote for it, you're saying there's no limitations. The Supreme Court can spend as much as the taxpayers' money suing the taxpayers as they deem appropriate.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess my concern is the establishment of a list. A list is there, they're good, but if you leave something off, then you're not covered. I think I too have some concerns about the bill, and I'm going to give you an example. An attorney could find a client who wants to tackle a public policy issue of some kind, to sue a city, a town, or a government agency. Find a client who doesn't like that. If the client will qualify under the other parts of the list, he can sue on behalf of that client on a public policy issue, as I read the bill now, and the state's going to be paying. I don't like that part, and I think we should go into exclusions that they can't do rather than try to do a shopping list that they can do, because invariably there will be some circumstance that would be left off. And so while the concept, I think, deserves some consideration as to that it is not wide open, I think perhaps a better method and maybe on third reading there should be an exclusion part of the bill, not trying to do an inclusion of only this, and this, because you're going to leave something off that's important, I feel.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, the Access to Justice Commission will be structuring this program and adopting rules over the next 6 months. And they have been inclusive rather than exclusive in terms of being open, opaque, and letting and hearing the concerns of all those involved. And in terms of public policy issues and advocacy, I agree with the good senator from Teton. And in fact, some of the agricultural entities were concerned about some sort of public policy advocacy as part of this program, and the commission and the Supreme Court were able to allay those fears, and that they will be working with them. That is not the intent of this bill. But remember that the legislature has tremendous oversight over this program. The Joint Appropriations Committee and the Joint Judiciary Committees will be receiving reports in November of 2010 and May 1 of 2011 with regards to the structure of this program. The program only receives money through the legislative appropriation process. So if the legislature feels, and we will be back here before May of 2011, so if the legislature believes that the program is not meeting the needs or is overly broad, we'll have ample opportunity to deal with that. There are also some unintended consequences of this bill. This amendment says prior to May 1, the funds shall not be expended on this program other than for these things. It prohibits the program from developing perhaps a single point of entry or other local kinds of kiosks or workforce services kinds of things that we have tried to adopt in other programs so that people have access to that. If you pass this amendment, you preclude them from doing that before May 1 of 2011. I suggest to you that the good senator also from Teton County is absolutely correct. When you start putting in lists, then the court starts looking at, well, the legislature did not include this and this, and so you can't do those things. So I suggest to you that making lists is not the appropriate way to do that. I cannot stress enough how open this process has been and will continue to be. And so when you start making these categories, such as domestic relations or landlord-tenant, part of the question will be how, if a particular case comes along, does it fit one of these neat categories? Is it a woman who is on her second marriage and can't afford the mortgage? Is it a collection case? Is it a domestic relations case? Because the husband didn't pay the mortgage as required under the order of the divorce decree. So you start getting into all kinds of little nuances as to where does this case necessarily fit? So I'd urge you to not pass this amendment. Let the program work. We have an ample amount of oversight in this, and I believe we have the opportunity to correct if you think that the program is off into the hinterland of public policy advocacy, which is not the intent of this bill, nor the intent of the Access to Justice Commission, then we'll have an opportunity to deal with that then. Thank you.
Senator Vidal.
Thank you, Mr. President. And maybe the language in this amendment isn't exactly the way it should be written, but as we embark on something like this, I think we've got to be very cautious. We're talking about an entirely new program here. We're talking about a situation where the people that work in the courts are going to be the ones making decisions about who gets these services and the rules we come up with to show how we do it. And I'm not sure what the cost is going to be. I mean, we're talking about a $10 fee now for all filing fees to cover this, and I understand that's about $1 million or $1.5 million. Is that enough? How many people utilize this? And I do worry about the fact that this could be something that gets into public policy, where people utilize this to go after public policy. So maybe this isn't the correct amendment, but when you start something out like this, my question is, how do you get a handle on it? I think the legislature should have a handle on it. Not the commission, not the judiciary. This is the body that sets up the appropriation and does this, and we should have a handle on it. How do we get a handle on it if we don't try to narrow it? And maybe this isn't the way to do it, and I understand that. But how do we get a handle on a new program, new money, new area, new direction, without trying to give them some guidelines?
Senator Scott.
It does seem to me that with a new program like this, we do need to do something in the way of restraint and something in the way of priority setting. I'm going to vote for this amendment, even though I don't think it's perfect, because I think this bill needs something of this nature before it should pass. What I'm going to suggest is that maybe on third reading we need to refine the concept, maybe bring in the idea of excluding certain kinds of suits if we can define them well enough. I think all of us don't want to see the public policy advocacy through the courts. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some here that do. So I guess it's one way to get something accomplished where you can't get 16 and 31 votes to get it passed. But I think we need to have some restraint there. And then I think maybe the proper mechanism is to set some priorities. So because there will be limited funds here and some guidance to the program as to what the priorities might be, that might be useful. This list in this amendment, Mr. President, is one way to start. Another possible priority would be to say we'll give assistance where somebody is being sued, because some of our, a lot of our citizens, because of the cost of the legal system, are closed out of it, and you get sued by somebody with resources, you're kind of up against it. Maybe that ought to be a priority. I think we need to think about some of those things and do some further work, whether this passes or not, on third reading.
Senator Massey.
On and against the amendment, the perhaps adding a specific story, an instance, will help put a human face to what we're talking about here. I had a grandmother give me a call. It was probably about a year or so ago. And her daughter and her boyfriend at that time had gotten on drugs. And it was a nasty situation. And she finally just simply had to give up her little girl and go find some help. And so the grandmother took her granddaughter in and had her for nearly 2 years. And suddenly her daughter was back, insisted that she had custody of the child, fell back in with the guy who was there before, and just simply took the girl and headed for the southwest part of the state. And the grandmother tried everything possible to find out where they went and if she could just simply get in contact with this little girl that she had helped raise for 2 years. And we do have grandparent rights in our statutes. And she tried to implement it, but she had to go to court to do it. And she is indigent. She had very little money. I tried every way possible through state agencies to get her some help and couldn't. And finally referred her to some attorneys in Laramie. But they had have so much pro bono cases, they just simply couldn't take anything more on. And as far as I know, nothing ever happened. This is the perfect situation for her to be able to get that help, to go and at least get contact again with her granddaughter. Yet this amendment would prevent her from doing that. So let's let the bill ride. You know, it's the Supreme Court and the folks who are in the judicial system who run into this all the time. They'll be able to come up with the structure and the guidelines, and we'll be included in that. As individual legislators, we can take part in it, and if we don't like it, then we can do the job that we're hired to do to come down here, the legislative end of things, and say, no, we're not going to fund that, or we'll pass a statute and say, sorry, it goes too far there.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask the opponents this amendment to say why something that happened in Casper wouldn't happen. And I could be corrected by the guys that hang around the jails more than I do, but I believe in Casper quite a few years ago, we had a prisoner that was contacted by a national organization, and a lawsuit was filed, and our form of jail was thrown out, and we've now spent millions of dollars building a new jail. Now, I'm not saying Casper didn't need a new jail, but the reason that we started that construction was because of this case. You get a guy that's a prisoner, he gets out, he doesn't really care one way or another that the jail was in a line instead of in an oval or something like that. So rather than just saying, trust me, we won't do that, what is there in the bill or in, you know, that's not in this amendment would take care of that. And on the amendment, point out that the story from our tall colleague over there, on here says domestic relations, legal, civil services, which shall include at a minimum services involving child custody and visitation. So I ask why that isn't in this amendment.
Senator Elliott.
To all of the arguments that have been made, and I want to do two things. It seems to me, as an old semi-retired trial lawyer, that many of the objections espoused by other members of the Senate have a great deal of validity, but we do have a lot of legislative oversight with the Access to Justice Commission, as the Senator has pointed out. I would like to agree with my companion senator from Teton County in terms of perhaps the best way to do this would be to list the negatives and make that suggestion to the Access to Justice Commission. Because it seems to me that what we're trying to say, at least as I read it, my own impression, is there are certain kinds of contingent fee type cases that do involve a monetary amount or perhaps a public policy declaration, such as the senator from Casper has just pointed out, that need to be excluded from this legal services access. But that seems to me to be the very kind of thing that the Access to Justice Commission needs to look at and look very carefully at the wording, because even the negative that the senator from Teton County has mentioned carries certain misinterpretations or ambiguity with it as well. I think we're better off to try to let the Access to Justice Commission under the bill do its job, come out with a list, participate as individuals, and see if we can't come up with something that represents the best efforts of this particular legislation. I understand the reason for the amendment. I'm going to oppose it because I think there are too many instances of cases that would not fall in this narrow category, even in the interim before May of next year. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President, on and against the amendment. I mean, here we are as the bill goes through, and then we think that we have the ability to anticipate all the different needs for indigent services that are out there, and that we can pull that together here in a matter of 24 hours. I think that's a very difficult task. I would again reiterate some of the we'll be back here in 10 months. To look at this, we'll have some. Well, by that time, there'll be some regulations. If there's additional guidance that's needed, we'll need that. But back to the specific question, when you talk about a grandparent, as you look at individual A, to answer the question directly, I think that when you look at the dissolution of marriage, child custody, visitation, and child support, as I read that, and this is the exact problem that I think is wrong with trying to make this limitation, is I think it's very easy to read that and say the legislature wants that only in the cases of marriage. That you've got cases of marriage, child custody, visitation, child support. All those arise out of the marriage. And in the situation we've had, the tall senator from Albany County, is that that may not be broad enough to cover the grandparent. And that's the problem we'll have as we try and refine this down, particularly as we try and do it with 24 hours basically left in the session. I don't think you can do that successfully. We'll be back here in 10 months. We'll have some regulations, be able to figure out if there's additional guidance that's needed, and if we need to go out and provide for those situations that to make sure we don't have those types of public policy litigation funded by the state, fair enough. But you know, at this point in time, it's in its early stages. It will barely be up and running by the time we're back in session, and we can make those changes and adjustments going forward. And I think this is folly to do it this way.
Senator Ross, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. In response to the question from the good senator from Natrona County, that litigation and the entity with whom you were speaking about represents individuals pertaining to civil liberties. They do not take any public funding. It is all private funding, so they would not be part of this legal services. The suits against the jails and so forth are brought by, we all know who that is, and they are not even capable of participating in this because of their very own nature. With regard to the question concerning the good tall senator from Laramie and his example, I think the senator from Natrona County is absolutely correct. Is that a guardianship case? More than likely, it probably is, ultimately, when you're trying to talk about getting the grandchild back. And believe me, folks, one of the things that I'm seeing in my practice of law, and I do a lot of domestic relations work, you have excluded here paternity cases. They don't arise out of a marriage. They do have a child, but they're not in this list. You also, with regard to the issue concerning contingent fee cases, I don't believe that they're involved in this. Contingent fee cases, you can get an attorney to take on a contingency case because they're betting on the come that they can recover. That's how they're paid. And if they don't recover, you don't get any money, the attorneys. So that, I don't, you know, there's a lot of things that go into this. But in the end, I think that there is ample amount of oversight here for us to move forward with this bill. Time is now, and we really need to do it.
Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, I was not going to rise again, but one thing was said. It strikes me that the cases with regard to jails and whatnot we've seen, they are publicly funded. They're funded through this Section 1983 mechanism, whereby if they can find one thing, that's how they finance their organization. And now I think that shows the kind of abuses that you can get with publicly funded legal firms. And I think it's something we really need to look at, to put some kind of restraint, as this amendment does. This may not be the perfect one, but we need to put some kind of restraint on what we're getting into here.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in favor of the amendment. The reason I do is because the I believe the powers that be through the as the bill passes through will actually have the guidance of this amendment to show right now what the legislature expects of this passage of this bill into law. I think if we can nip this in the bud, babies crawl and then they walk and then they run. And I think what we need to do is be very careful. And I've seen a lot of bills go through here that the next year they are improved or changed in some matter. We've had look at the difference in the Hathaway program over 5 years. It's very different from what it was to start with. I think this will need to mold this program if we want it to work. And I think we need to tell them that these are our concerns, and we still have the Third Amendment that people can work on that and make it work as a baby crawling. Thank you.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second time. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think some very good and valid points were made. I would certainly work with the good senator from Cheyenne to make sure that as far as the money is expended and funded on third reading, we did not preclude those things as far as the website and the development of those single point entry systems and those things that need to be addressed with effective funding, effective immediately funding. I'd certainly offer my time to do that. As far as the domestic relations, I think the good senator from Cheyenne said it, that he does a lot of domestic relation cases and then started listing the cases that weren't enumerated in the bill, and but the bill says at a minimum. And so, you know, those cases are included in the bill, or those topics are, because it's at a minimum. It's not exclusive. And we have to realize, too, I think, that as far as the indigent not getting medical, not getting legal services, that there's another $700,000 out there on the side that people without money and access to the judicial system have used for years and years and years. That's the customary method, the customary funding. This funding actually is in addition to that. And so anything that we happen to put on this list or not put on this list can be taken up with the current program that's already in existence. But I do think that we need to have a structure with a list. Subsection C limits it to circuit courts, so you're not going to get that platform, that bully pulpit to stand on for your advocacy-type trials. So you've eliminated that. That would have to go to a district court or a federal court level. So we eliminated that stance, that platform for the advocacy by subsection C. So I think it's addressed a lot of the concerns that we have. I would certainly work with the proponents of this legislation to make sure that most of the cases are covered. My assumption is that close to 90% or more of the cases are covered right now of indigent care in this regard under these three categories. So with that, Mr. President, I would ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 61 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment have failed. Vision been called for. All in favor, please stand. Those opposed? The amendment has failed. House Bill 61 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 64, second reading of the House Bill. And Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor, please?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Fellow senators, we have some of the finest high school students in the state here with us today. They come from my district, Kelly Walsh High School. Would you please help me make them feel welcome? Thank you, Mr. President.
Welcome to the Senate. Glad you could come today. Hey, reading clerk.
House Bill 64, sponsored by Representative Millen, mandatory minimum sentence for sexual abuse of a minor.
House Bill 64, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 65, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 65, sponsored by the Management Council, Revisors Bill.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read an amendment.
House Bill 65, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 26 after line 4.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 65. Mr. President, this basically just revises another bill that frankly we had missed coming through. Senate File 12, which dealt with if anybody remembers, dealt with the property up at, which dealt with the uniformity of the legal descriptions, and one of the things that got past us was the name of South Pass City State Historic Site, not Old South Pass City Historical Preserve. And the rest of the amendment is just conforming to change the numbering of the bill.
Discussion on the amendment. Question is, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 65. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment has passed. House Bill 65, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 72, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 72, sponsored by Representative Stubson, regulation of wind energy facilities.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 72, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 9, line 19.
Senator Honeycutt.
Mr. President, thank you. On what we wanted to do on this bill was just to change the setbacks for those communities or for those wind generators that are close to any kind of a house. As you will notice on page 10, it mentions a half a mile for anything that's located close to the city limits. We thought it was only fair that people who live in the county should also have that half-mile limit. as our good senator from Natrona County said, some of these towers are 250 feet tall, and you include the blades, they're 350 feet tall, and a quarter mile is not very far. It's only about three city blocks. And if you look at this Capitol building, from the curb to the top of the dome, it's 147 feet. So you can just realize just how big these wind generators are. So I think a setback of a half a mile is probably pretty good for everybody. And I would move that adoption of this amendment in your favorable consideration.
Thank you. Senator Perkins.
Mr. President, what you've got here is you already have a number of counties. In fact, the majority of the counties that are out there have already adopted this. However, if your particular county, you want to advocate for broader, for this, if you want half a mile or three quarters of a mile or a mile, you're free to go to your county commission and have them pass that resolution. But this is now applicable across the state. We're making this policy for everybody across the state. If you want more stringent, wider, longer setbacks, you're free to go to the county and work that into the county regulations as they do that. And so I would urge your defeat of this amendment.
Does someone wish to speak before the sponsor take his second time? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Honor and favor, and I understand that these are minimum standards. And, of course, if I'm not one of the people out there that's affected by it, then I think, why should we do it? But I could very well be one of those people, and I wish I could tell you how many people in Wyoming are affected by it. But if you get up in one of our committee rooms and you look over at the Hirschler building, that's not much farther than a quarter of a mile. And you think about what you're doing to these people. And the other question is, it's not like we don't have a lot of space in Wyoming, and we got a lot of wind. And when we put in these wind farms, and we will, why shouldn't we give the people that have already gone out there and spent their hard-earned money to be in these platted subdivisions a chance to have a half a mile? And I understand you can go to the county commission, and I understand that and all that, but I think as we set public policy here in this body, we ought to give those people that fair consideration, because it's something about fairness. And why not let them have that opportunity to have a minimum standard of a half a mile? I tried to find out some information on the size and the numbers of these. It could be half-acre lots, and you could have 15, 20, or 30 of them. You know, you could also argue that we should do it for all residences, and that would be certainly another one. But in this case, I think it's a fair thing to do for these people, and I would ask your support.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. President, for my second time, those are all good things. The other side of this argument, too, though, is also you have a landowner out there. You've got a guy who's got the right to put windmills on his property and get a return on that. When you do this, you know, you're trying to strike a balance, because what you're saying now is, okay, Mr. Rancher, Mr. Farmer, Mr. Landowner, you can't use your land the way that you want to. We're going to say now you've got to have, at least have half mile setbacks. So when you do this, it's not just for the this is a land use decision, and you're actually starting to tell people now you can't use your property within a half mile of any other structure for the way that you want to use it. So it's not just folks that live in houses, it's ag and anybody else. It's an infringement upon people's use of their property to when you start to do these things, and now we're doubling that infringement.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. But there's also a safety factor in there, too. Get on the internet and start looking at some of the videos that they have when these things come apart. A quarter of a mile is not very far that you get those pieces come flying through the air. Look at some of them that have the pictures of the ice that build up on the blades. And when that blade comes around at a couple hundred miles an hour and flings that ice out across there, is a quarter of a mile really far enough? So do what you want to with your own property, but don't be letting your junk come over on my place, is kind of what this says. A half a mile probably isn't enough, but it's a safer distance than a quarter of a mile. I would hope you would support the amendment.
Senator Honeycutt, for your second time.
For my second time, some of the concerns I have, too, and one of the reasons I want a half mile is several of the wind farms are operated by or owned by public utilities, cities and counties. And I'd hate to allow them just to willy-nilly put up their wind generators and set their own standards like we've seen in some parts of the southeast Wyoming. I think we need to just be fair, let everybody have the half-mile distance, and go from there.
Question is, second, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 72 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is undecided. Would all in favor please stand? Those opposed. The amendment has passed. House Bill 72 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 75, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 75, sponsored by Representative Davidson, loss of parental rights, homicide of spouse.
House Bill 75, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 77, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 77, sponsored by Representative Byrd, youth archery licenses.
House Bill 77, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 79, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 79, sponsored by Representative Brown, eminent domain wind power collector lines.
House Bill 79, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 80, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 80, sponsored by Representative Harvey, peace officers, detention officers, and dispatchers.
House Bill 80, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 83, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 83, sponsored by Representative Harshman, Crimes and Offenses, Restrictions for Adult Sex Offenders.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could we have this bill laid back to the end of second reading? I have an amendment. For whatever reason, it didn't come out on House Bill 83, but they would have it out in a minute.
Okay, without objections, we'll lay it back to the end of the second reading. House Bill 89, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 89, sponsored by Representative Gilmore, resident contractor preferences.
There is an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 89, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 3, line 22.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 89 and just ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, I was out discussing this with the contractors, and this amendment would affect some larger scale projects such as the data center, schools, and state buildings being let to build. I did check with the attorneys, and anything that's in the process right now, it doesn't affect. This is for only things that are after, you know, the language of all acts necessary for this bill to become law, that the then in the future the requirement would be put on the bids. So this is just for moving in the future. It's to capture some of the other work and to just send the message out that, you know, the contractors, and this, you know, as I said, that this is a jobs bill and putting our Wyoming contractors to work.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I'm a little nervous about putting an immediate effective date on something like this where you've got projects in various stages in the works, and I wonder what kind of disruption we're going to cause to make this change suddenly without giving people a little time and notice that it's coming.
Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, President. Mr. President, I also have problems with this because I and the good sponsor of the amendment did come up and speak to me, and I just trying to read it in where it would just seem like tomorrow or by the end of the week, should this pass, it be signed into law that all bills, all contract bids, you know, that somebody could be negotiating with the CMA, construction manager at risk could be negotiating right now with his subs over this price because he doesn't have this requirement of all those bids being opened up in public. And then suddenly this passes Friday, signed, and on Monday he suddenly has to tell them, put all sealed bid envelopes, deliver them. It just seems way too quickly to do enactment right now. I believe we should leave it at July 1.
Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I too would oppose this, making it effective immediately. Mr. Chairman, this is a significant policy. Going back to, quite frankly, where we were a while ago, and the idea is probably good, but there are contractors out there who are thinking about bidding or want to bid who all, you know, having it effective immediately, I don't think is necessary, and I think it could set a really bad precedent of those who wishing to apply for jobs in Wyoming if they haven't had all the previous notice required to make this as a part of the consideration whether they want to bid or not. And I would ask you to defeat this amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second term, Senator Hastert.
It's just, like I said, voted up or down. It's just the idea was to get in for future bids. It doesn't affect anything that's in the process, and the information would have to be on the bid sheets. I had asked the attorney after the good senator from up in Campbell County and I discussed it before we gaveled in to ensure that this wouldn't affect anything that was in the process. It's just simply a means of getting those that are coming up this spring in the future, just to say that this would be something that, you know, we could capture some of that other work. It was all, Mr. Chairman. Mr.
Question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 89 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment have failed. House Bill 89 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a 3rd time, hearing no objections? It is so ordered. House Bill 94, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 94, sponsored by Representative Lockhart, Real Property Easements.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 94, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 15.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 94. And we had some good discussion about this bill, and of course it deals with options on easements, and they were time limited to 1 year. If this bill were to move forward like it is now, that time limit would be left wide open. And of course, when you get title insurance on your property, there could be some gaps that could occur down the road. And what this amendment does, Mr. President, is says it shall be only for a period of 7 years. I think this works for the people that are trying to work with the easements that are out there. It gives them a chance to do their options and go to the final part of it, yet it puts a time limit on it so that when you're out there buying property, you do your title insurance, you know, 4, 5, or 6 years later, you're not going to have a surprise that says, oh, by the way, there's a windmill coming down through here, and I had this easement. You just didn't know about it. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Cooper.
President, this is a reasonable addition to the bill, and I would favor it.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 94 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. House Bill 94, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 95, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 95, sponsored by Representative Yagi, Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act 2.
There is an amendment for the reading clerk. Please read in the amendment.
House Bill 95, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 2 after line 15.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. And Mr. President, what this amendment does two things. First, it puts in a definition of ammunition, and ammunition is used back further in the bill as one of the things that we want to protect. And we're trying to avoid including armor-piercing ammunition. There's no real need for a private individual to have that sort of thing. Second, we're going into the definition of firearm. We were concerned that the definition was overbroad and would get us into approval of fully automatic weapons and rocket-propelled grenades and explosive devices like that. We're not trying to arm an army here. We're trying to protect our citizens' rights. And frankly, this bill is headed for a court test. You're much better off and if your things that you're contesting in court are perceived as on the reasonable side, and that's we're trying to get to that kind of a position. I've checked with the various legislative proponents of this bill. I think this amendment is acceptable to them. I suppose we'll find out if it isn't. But I think it makes this bill a good deal more palatable to the greater majority of our citizens, and I think it helps it achieve the real purpose of the bill a good deal better. So I urge adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion on amendment. Question is, second. Senator Gates.
Mr. President, I'm really not a gun guy, and I'm not the best on these definitions, Mr. President, but I think when you try to do these definitions, you get caught up in all sorts of things. For example, some shotguns, for example, are automatic shotguns. There are obviously semi-automatic shotguns. The idea of ammunition shall not include any projectile designed to pierce armor. Even any bullet will go through a certain amount of, armor. Even if it's not a armor-piercing bullet, it's when you try to define these things, you just get caught up in it. And I don't think that's a good idea. Sorry, I rise in opposition, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment? The question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 95 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The bill, the amendment has passed. House Bill 95, there is another amendment. Reading clerk, please read it in.
House Bill 95, second reading amendment number 2 to engross copy, page 3, line 6.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. This was an issue. Frankly, my co-sponsor found it. You see on page 3, line 6, we're in the firearms accessories. We're talking about flash or sound suppressors. What the amendment does is remove that provision. Those things, what would you want a flash or sound suppressor for? Mostly is if you're involved in some kind of criminal activity. The firearms, and that's not where we're trying to go here, and this takes that particular piece of equipment out of the approved accessories. So I urge adoption of this amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. You can buy these anyway, whether we make them in Wyoming or anyplace else. You can get on the Internet and you can buy them. So whether we make them in Wyoming or they make them someplace else and bring them in and screw them onto a Wyoming gun, it doesn't make any difference. You're not doing anything by passing this one way or another. So if somebody wants a flash or sound suppressor, they'll get their Wyoming arms gun, and they'll thread it, and they'll screw it on there. Because you can buy them. They're not illegal.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, then a question. If they do, and say they do put a sound suppressor on it, then, and that becomes part of the gun, then is the gun regulated or non-regulated? what happens to the status of the firearm when you attach a silencer to it. Is it still unregulated or not?
Senator Jennings, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. If the gun, for the way I read the bill, if the gun is manufactured in Wyoming with all the feedstock in Wyoming, and it's got the Wyoming, Made in Wyoming stamp on it, that gun falls under the statute. Once you take that gun and you have ownership of it and you modify it, I don't think that we address that under the statute. But again, it doesn't, if you, the only time it would make any difference is when you actually had it attached. So if you transport it or if you're showing it off to somebody and you don't have it attached, then it doesn't make any difference. So if you get caught in a crime using a Wyoming gun with a Fleischer sound suppressor on it, then you fall into other statutes of using a gun and committing a crime. And those statutes are in place. So this amendment really doesn't make any difference one way or another. Vote it up, vote it down. If you're trying to get rid of flash and sound suppressors, then you're going to have to go out there in the world outside of Wyoming and get rid of them. But I think the gun by itself still falls under the statute. Any addition to it depends on what you're using it for.
Senator Burns.
On and for the amendment, as the prime sponsor of the amendment mentioned, this is going to head to court, and frankly, the idea of a flash or sound suppressor, I don't know that it's going to make a big difference in the court case, but it's going to make a big difference in the PR aspect of the court case itself. And as the good senator that just spoke from Natrona County, it's not going to make that big a difference. In federal law, it's your posterior they're going to is in a sling. There's big crimes against that on the federal level. The reason we wanted to take this out actually was to keep it from throwing up dirt and smoke in the case itself.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question is, shall second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 95 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The amendment has passed. House Bill 95, I haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 97, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 97, sponsored by Representative Harshman, Nuclear Energy Production Study.
House Bill 97, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections? It is so ordered. House Bill 106, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 106, sponsored by Representative Pedersen, Small Business Investment Credit.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 106, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 17, line 18.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 106. Mr. President, this goes in and deletes $30 million authorization and makes it $1 million. Very clear that I don't like this program. I don't like this bill. But I also think it's better to walk before we run. I think a lot of people will say that this is too little money to make a difference. Perhaps that's so. Mr. President, I think this is bad policy in general, and don't believe we should take a hit on our general fund to fund venture capital through insurance companies.
Senator Bevout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I would urge the body to resist this amendment. And, in fact, my good colleague from Fremont County made the best case why you should. It's the urgency that we see out there. And if you've talked to your small businesses and your local communities about the situation they're faced with when they go and try to attempt to borrow money from banks, it's very difficult. The whole purpose of this bill is to allow to have a vehicle to take the money and future premiums from the insurance companies and be able to put that money to work today in Wyoming to create jobs, help the economy. That's got a lot of oversight in it. If you don't like this bill, then kill the bill, but don't hamper it on the get-go by reducing the money down to $1 million, which in essence just really does kill the bill. And Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, I'd also like to answer a question yesterday my tall colleague from Petronic kind of asked about, in fact, is when these credits come back on these premiums that the insurance companies pay, do we, in fact, pay the mandatory ones? And if you look in the bill on page 14, starting on lines 22 and 23 and 24, that's exactly what that does in those areas that, in fact, when the insurance companies pay their premiums, they shall pay these first before they're allowed to have any credits, and that's under the Small Employer Carrier Reinsurance Program, credits for assessments paid. The third one is for the pool insurance, and the last one is the volunteer firemen. So understand that if this, in fact, does become law and the insurance companies decide to do this, that when they get the credits on their premiums, they shall pay all of these first before they receive any payments. And back on the amendment, a member of the Senate, this really is a good idea right now. The time is now. If you want to support our local businesses and our economy, vote for this. If you don't like the bill, kill the bill, but don't kill it by taking the funding down to $1 million.
Senator Meyer.
On and for the amendment, folks, this is general fund money. Just because we interrupt insurance tax premium that's due, that goes to the general fund with a credit, make no mistake about it, this is general fund money. And we're saying in this bill, we're going to take general fund money, give it to a entity blessed by the Business Council to make loans that banks won't make loans. Bank says it's a bad loan. We're going to take general fund money, give it to a bunch of people to make loans. Now, that's what the bill does. A good senator from Fremont County over here says, let's walk before we run. Another senator says, let's hit the starting blocks and shoot the gun and get going. I think I'd probably go to conference and maybe we split it down the middle and maybe we'll just have a nice long 880 or 800 meters now. That dates me.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nowhere in this is there anything that it's bad loans. If it's a bad loan, they're not going to make it. Is it true that banks right now are not loaning money? Absolutely. And that is accurate, but not because of it being a bad loan. That's not the case. They should all be good loans. If they're not good loans, the operation shouldn't happen and won't. But it isn't because it's bad loans, folks. It's because banks, quite frankly, we could go into that for a long time, but banks, for whatever reason right now, has found it more profitable to do investments than make loans. That's wrong, but this is going to give us a real good source of money. Ultimately, is it general fund money? Absolutely. There isn't any question about that as it goes out. But with the time cost of money, if this program is successful, and many think it would be, you're going to get back more through other measures of these being successful than any loss to any general fund money. Because it doesn't happen for a few years. But they can start to put that together immediately. So I would urge you to reject this loan, just like my good tall senator from Fremont County says. If you don't believe in economic development, kill a bill. But don't put it down to $1 million where it frankly won't be effective. So I urge you to defeat the amendment.
Senator Honeycutt.
Mr. President, I'd like to say something about what the banks can or can't do. And right now, because of the economy, they're FDIC, basically, and I'll use their name because I don't much care for them, but have restricted all the banks from making commercial loans all over the country. And right now, we've experienced here in Wyoming that there's still a lot of small companies, maybe a B-grade company, but a good company, that are looking for money. But because of the restrictions placed on us by the government, the federal government, a lot of the banks just can't make loans. So this is really a program that could be very helpful to small businesses in Wyoming, especially during this this time.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Someone, any other speakers before the sponsor of the amendment? Take it second time. Senator Case.
Mr. President, I wasn't going to rise, and then it came up again that if you oppose this bill, you're against economic development. And, Mr. President, that's just not true. What is true is that some of us don't believe in subsidies to businesses. That's not all the tools that we have for economic development in Wyoming. And our location, our fabulous tax structure, our wonderful, hardworking citizenry, and our highly educated citizenry, the university, many of the advantages that we have, we can leverage for economic development purposes, Mr. President. But there are many ways to create economic prosperity without dipping into thinking that you have to subsidize business. And so I'm really tired. You know, every time you get up and say, if you don't vote for this subsidy program, you're against economic development. I just don't think that's very fair. So, Mr. President, takes it down to $1 million. Yes, it attacks the issue of we are taking money away from our general fund. We are diverting revenues that were coming to our general fund. We could do that with lots of different things that go into our general fund and come up with all sorts of different schemes. This one's based on insurance companies that pay this tax. They're logical vehicles because they have big investment portfolios and they're kind of half in this business. But let me think. I think there was some kind of trouble with insurance company investments a little earlier last year, and I am trying to remember what that was. It seems like were the initials A something, and didn't we get in a lot of trouble in this country? Maybe government ought to stay out of this stuff, Mr. President. Thank you.
Question is, second reading amendment number one to House Bill 106. Pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. House Bill 106 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 111, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 111, sponsored by Representative Simpson, Electric Transmission Consideration of Regional Issues.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 111, second reading amendment number one to engross copy, page 2, line 1.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 111. Mr. President, this creates a little bit of framework for the structure of the bill in terms of, if you all will recall, this is a bill about regionalization of decisions with respect to electric transmission and electric generation assets. These, for very large companies, have multi-state jurisdiction. Mr. President, I have concerns about some vagueness in the bill, one of which is that the bill calls for the commission to participate with other commissions, either alone or singly, and to develop common sets of facts. I've asked attorneys throughout sponsoring this bill and throughout this body and on our staff what that means. Nobody can answer. So, Mr. President, I have concerns about that, and I've proposed an amendment that says that whenever you're doing this, you have to follow the Wyoming rules and let people participate. So it says any common set of facts developed under this paragraph shall be only be developed under a docketed commission proceeding with opportunity for participation by the public in compliance with the Wyoming Administrative Procedure Act and commission rules. Mr. Chairman, the rest of the amendment is very similar. It's about following the APA with respect to hearings and orders that are issued. And, Mr. President, that is the gist of it, that it allows public participation in a case just like we have, but it does not prevent the commission from going and participating and developing these common sets of facts and issuing orders. They just can't do it without following our process.
And so I think it's a good compromise. In fact, the lead sponsor of this bill, I believe, doesn't have a major problem with this amendment. It's been shared with the utility. It's been shared with all the sponsors. I'd be interested in their reaction, Mr. President.
Senator Vebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that this amendment be divided, and the first part would be 1 through 7. And, Mr. President, the second part would be 9 through 24.
Appears to be divisible.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, members of the Senate, nothing in this bill takes away anything from what the PSC can do now. They can have hearings. They're already completely, totally regulated under the Administrative Procedures and Rules Act. Nothing will change any of that. And I have talked to the PSC this morning about this particular amendment, and they had some comments about it. If this passes, will it hurt our ability to do what we're trying to do with the bill? I believe so, and that's why I wanted to divide the amendment. And, Mr. President, speaking to the First Amendment, you know, you could argue that that is some language that is hard to define. And if my good colleague from Fremont County, I got to get over to Lanner a little bit more and talk to him because we seem to be arguing against everything instead of being on the same side. But if he really feels this is going to make him feel better and sleep at night to tell him to do what they can already do, I'm not going to argue on number one, Mr. President. I would certainly have some problems with the Second Amendment, though.
We're on Division One. Any further discussion? Senator Schiffer.
President, I would urge you to resist this. And obviously, as a co-sponsor, we're operating as a team and close-knit, and it's a well-quarterback team. My apologies to my co-sponsor. I guess we should have read it. I would urge you to resist this. What we're doing, it's already covered in statute. What has to be done publicly, the docket of these, the procedures are already there. This is a new time. Energy is different than it was 10 years and 20 years ago. We're asking our Public Service Commission to be responsive to the new demands on both the energy industry, the energy delivery, and the energy delivery outside of this state, in our western region. My suggestion to you is this is one more hurdle to us becoming part of the western region of energy. We don't need that kind of, we don't want to go into this with one hand tied behind our back. It's going to be tough enough for the state of Wyoming. And understand, we have an advantage right now. Our energy is cheaper than anybody else's. That is our long suit when it comes to developing this state. That's why we can mine coal cheaper. That's why we can encourage these big supercomputers to come in. All that stuff that we're doing is because we have a competitive advantage in the cost of our energy. I urge you to defeat this amendment. Don't saddle our PSC with more of a burden in trying to protect what is our advantage right now. I ask you to vote no.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Standing up in support of Division One of this amendment, I don't see where it actually hurts them to be reminded that it's a public process. And when they state in this bill that to develop their own, basically to develop common sets of facts, develop their own common set of facts, I guess, finding for regulation of transmission. That section just allows them to pretty much put their own facts out there and then make decisions based on that. And I don't see why this Division One doesn't hurt that, doesn't affect it. Just says let's remind you guys that this is a public process. So this is how you what your rules are. So in support of Division One.
Senator Gates.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, let's remember that the Wyoming Public Service Commission's job is not economic development. We have an infrastructure authority. We have other entities whose job is economic development. They are the ones that are supposed to promote Wyoming as a wonderful place to sell power, to put power plants, transmission. We're ready to do that. The Public Service Commission is not that entity. So don't make them go have negotiations in an, outside of Wyoming about bringing all this together without protecting the process, because their mission is to protect consumers and to regulate utilities. Mr. President, no one knows what the common sets of facts are. You're going out and without participation of the entities that are involved, developing common sets of facts, coming back and using those facts to eventually bring the utility asset into the rate base so we pay for it. Mr. President, we enjoy great advantages in producing electricity. Almost 90% of electricity that's is going to be exported from Wyoming because they need the electricity, and we got it because we've got the coal plants, we've got the wind. We really have an opportunity to develop our state economically, Mr. President, but that's not the Public Service Commission's job. And we have to be careful when we start blending those missions. Thank you, Mr. President. I urge your support of the amendment.
Question is, Division 1, Line 1 through Line 8 of the second reading amendment, number 1 to House Bill 111, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has passed. Division 2, Line 9 through 24. Senator Vivas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I got to run back and check with my quarterback here. I'm not getting the signals correctly. Maybe it's that audible that we did it when we came up to the line of scrimmage. This second amendment really does hamper what we're trying to do with this bill, and it's a bad amendment. And I would hope you would defeat it. And my colleague talks about the job of the PSC, and it is. It's to oversee or with statutes, rules, and regulations to protect the consumers of Wyoming. I would submit to you that that's exactly what we're trying to do by having this opportunity to look at a regional basis. And if you go out and allow them to try to have that, and if you look at what the bill says on page two, little 2I and little 3I, and then you throw this language, and you really, we talked about one hand behind the back. I think you've got two hands behind the back. The PSC is comfortable with this. They understand what they're doing, and in no way, shape, or form take away from anything dealing with how they're regulated, what they have to do, and hearings. I think it just takes away the whole intent of the bill, and I have spoken with the sponsor of this particular bill on the other end of this building, and I'm not sure he's really excited about this amendment, but I guess he didn't really say. He maybe had a lot of other things on his mind. But I would urge this body to defeat this portion of the amendment.
Senator Devon Bladerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the same argument that I was in favor of Division 1, Division 2 just reminds them that this is a public process. It also says any consideration of the requirements imposed by another state shall be done in an open docket following the Administrative Procedure Act Commission rules. I mean, that's just a reminder and good business, and that's why they're there, is to be out in the public to explain why they're making decisions. The original language in the bill, on line 21, utility may consider requirements imposed upon the utility by the law of other states. I think this just counteracts that language. It still allows them to go out and talk, find out great ideas, see what we need to do to interconnect with them. But why wouldn't they just follow the rest of the procedures as they do today? In favor of Amendment 2.
Further discussion, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this is a critical amendment to pass. If you don't pass this division, then you will allow the commission to meet jointly with public utility commissions of other states, conduct hearings on the regulation and transmission of electricity, and act either with them or independently. I'm sorry, act independently. That means Wyoming Commission alone, but perhaps in another state, in entering any order as a result of the hearing. They go out, they hold a hearing. It's in Utah, for example. And then they issue an order with respect to the consequences there. All I'm saying is, hey, come back, go ahead, have the hearing out there, meet jointly with the Utility Commission there, come back, have a hearing, follow our rules, allow people to participate, and then issue your order. And then you should also be concerned, Mr. President, about
the fact that when we do this on line 21, it says, may consider the requirements imposed on the utility by the laws of other states. What could those laws be? Maybe it's about how much wind to buy. Maybe it's about what kind of electrons, whether they're green or not, or particular rate recovery in those states that may affect Wyoming. Those things affect our Wyoming consumers. You have to allow our Wyoming consumers to participate in anything before it's finalized. I'm not hampering them. They can still go out and have the meetings, Mr. President. They can even take evidence in other states. They can do all the things that the bill intends. But they just have to follow our rules and let people in Wyoming participate. That's all that the Wyoming PA does. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? The division is line 9 through 24.
President.
Okay, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I don't believe my colleague. Division 2. And a couple things. First of all, in terms of protection of the consumers, it's the CPA that protects the consumers. The PSC is the regulatory agency for utilities. And they do a good job. They actually don't need reminding about what the procedure is. They're well-versed at it. They know how to do it. What worries me about this amendment is, in effect, you're saying you're going to hold a hearing, and then you're going to hold another hearing, and then you got to hold one more hearing. In the way things develop, time is of the essence. Whether you're bringing online a wind farm for green energy, or has happened up in my part of the world, a coal-fired power plant, and allocating the resources, that all has to fit together, and that's what keeps us in the position we're in, which actually we're poised at a very favorable spot. I'm now getting signals from my coach up there. Let me suggest this amendment is not full back over tackle. This is a kind of a end around razzle dazzle. And I don't think we can use Hail Mary. But one time we had a commission member that was named Mary, and probably it would fit. I urge you, don't be led down this path. Resist this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Case, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. The PSC most definitely protects consumers by following a process that's open and available to all consumers, industrial consumers, residential consumers, commercial consumers. They have a process. There's a process by which you can participate and influence that process. You can challenge findings that something belongs in the rate base and you need to be recovered in rates. There's an ability and a process to handle that. It's a long-standing process developed over more than 100 years. And, Mr. President, how will that process work if you're looking at bringing a power plant into a regional consortium and they go and hold the hearing in Oregon? Explain that one to me. How is the process satisfied? This doesn't say they can't hold the hearing. They can still go do it, but they have to come back and have and open it up for people to talk about it here. That's good government. That's good business. It's not a new world necessarily with respect to electricity. We have built power plants in Wyoming. You remember some of the biggest ones were built in the early 80s and late 70s. They were multi-jurisdictional. They served many states, all four states that we're talking about with this regional core. And we brought them into the rate base. We had hearings. People evaluated the investment, and it all happened. And, Mr. President, it's a good process. How will Wyoming people participate in a hearing that's going to affect their rates when it's held in another state?
We're on Division 2, line 9 through 24, on the second reading, Amendment number 1 to House Bill 111. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. Division been called for. All in favor of The division, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. The division has passed. Has failed, excuse me. House Bill 111, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 122, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 122, sponsored by Representative Wallace, disposal of livestock.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 122, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 6, line 13.
Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 122. Mr. President, this is simply a cleanup of the language that you find in the bill. Page 6, line 13, and page 9, line 17. You delete disposition and insert disposal, and in that way it will read properly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? The question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 122 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. House Bill 122, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 128, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 128, sponsored by Representative Simpson, health insurance interstate purchase.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 128, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 3, line 2.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this is an amendment. We'll mention it briefly on Committee of the Whole, but basically what it does is it goes in on page 8 and puts in a new subsection B. We've asked in subsection A the insurance commissioner to cooperate with other insurance commissioners in creating a consortium. And B, now we're asking the commissioners, we're asking our commissioner to solicit the thoughts of the other commissioners on a series of issues that are, some of the fundamental policy issues that you've got when you want to sell insurance across state line. Which kind of policies are you going to affect? Should they be free to? Should the insurers be free to price on a state-by-state basis? Is the policy in the primary state automatically available in the secondary state, or they got to do something further? What do you do about preferred provider networks and handling consumer protections there? Adequacy of the existing laws for financial solvency. Frankly, I think that one, the answer would be the they are adequate. That's one thing that has been worked out, et cetera. You can see the list. And I think that, Mr. President, is an essential step. And then we go back and recreate what was originally item B as a new item C. A commissioner shall make an initial proposal. Wyoming recommends rules for approval of reciprocity should include following terms and conditions. And then we've got the rest of the existing bill, except that we've got a number of deletions, taking out some items really that need to be thought out on a joint basis before we're ready to take action of them. Rewording one on page 11, essentially to reflect the fact that the NAIC has worked out the financial solvency regulation on a multi-state basis and worked it out very successfully. And then taking out a couple of provisions that I think we're kind of legal boilerplate that may defeat the purpose of going across the state lines. And then a very important provision on page 19, Mr. President. This was discussed in Committee of the Whole, where the insurance commissioner currently says shall adopt rules and regulations. I think we may have changed that to now it's going to say that the commissioner shall draft, not adopt, but draft rules and regulations, and then the commissioner may adopt the rules provided they're consistent with the requirements that we're suggesting to the other states. So it leaves this bill with the possibility that the insurance commissioner, after years pass, a year has passed and we've had another chance to look at it, can go out and actually adopt regulations that would allow out-of-state policies to come in here. I would suggest to the members of the Management Council that some interim committee needs to ride herd on this policy, on this legislation, because there are very likely to be some things we'll have to change once we've thought out some of the issues that are listed here. But, Mr. Chairman, that's the amendment. It still allows the commissioner to draft the rules and regulations, and then he may adopt them. I think that's good policy. I would urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Other discussion on the amendment? Question been called for. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 128. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. House Bill 128, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 132, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 132, sponsored by Representative Davidson, Homicide During Pregnancy 2.
House Bill 132, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Joint Resolution number 9, second reading of the resolution.
House Joint Resolution 9, sponsored by Representative Simpson, resolution to amend the United States Constitution.
House Joint Resolution number 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 83, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 83, sponsored by Representative Harshman, Crimes and Offenses, Restriction for Adult Sex Offender.
There are amendments. Would you read in the First Amendment, please?
House Bill 83, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 14.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 83. Mr. President, I went back and looked at what the other states do in terms of the amount of distance that registered sex offenders can both loiter and reside from schools, and the vast majority of the states are about 1,000 feet. And so that's what this amendment does. It takes that restriction back from 2,000 feet to 1,000. Mr. President, the reason I was concerned about that distance in the first place is Wyoming is a state of very small towns. And frankly, if somebody cannot live within 2,000 feet of the school, which is usually centrally located in a lot of these small towns, they're out of town. 4,000 feet, you're in and then out of a lot of towns in the state of Wyoming. So, Mr. President, I thought I'd bring it back down to what the standard seems to be across the country, and that would seem to fit the, I think, into the character of Wyoming.
Other discussion on the amendment? Ready for the question? Question being second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 83. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has passed.
Another highlight to my career.
Second Amendment, House Reading Clerk, please read it in.
House Bill 83, Second Reading Amendment Number 2, page 2, line 14.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, the amendment we just passed improved this bill significantly. This asks you to improve it a little further. What this amendment does is two things. It goes in and says, rather than have a distance, we're going to keep these registered offenders out of the schools and out of the public ways, you know, the sidewalks and the streets. Can't loiter there where they're boundaries of the schools. So you can't say, well, I'm not in school property. I'm just on the sidewalk right outside the school. Protects that, but it does away with the now 1,000-foot distance. And that's important in my community, at least. You've got within that 1,000 feet of the schools, you've got a number of our principal churches. And basically, as the bill is written now, if a registered offender goes to a church service and stops to talk to somebody on the sidewalk, they violated this law if it passes. I think that's carrying it a step too far. The other thing the bill does, the amendment does, is to go in and remove the section on the residency. It is divisible, but that's the other thing it does do, and it is removing that provision. And I think we're just being overly restrictive. It does seem to me that in our zeal to deal with these people, we have made our registration overbroad, and we're catching quite a number of people that, yeah, they made a mistake at some point in their lives, but they've redeemed that, and we're just trying to stretch out the penalties, make their lives miserable for a mistake for which they have, if they did any time, they've done their time, they've paid their debt, they're cured. You aren't going to see them again. And the trouble is our registration doesn't distinguish adequately between the real predators who may reoffend and the other people who have made a mistake. So I would urge us to adopt this amendment. This does keep anybody that's registered out of the schools, off the school buses. That's appropriate. But let's avoid taking the further steps.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask you to resist this amendment. If we can have a drug-free school zone, what's wrong with having a predator-free school zone? And that's what we're talking about. Remember, if we go back years ago when I kept bringing those ankle bracelet bills up, I did a lot of studying, a lot of research, and we put a lot of it on your tables. They do come back. No, and when you track them, you can watch them. They'll stay away for a while, and then you start to see them come back. They will come back. Now, if there's some good guys that just made a mistake, I'd rather have the regulation in the protection of the kids for the guys that are coming back, and rather than loosening up the law for those that just made a mistake and are so-called cured. I'd ask you to vote no on this.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question is, second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 83. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. Second reading, third amendment. Reading clerk, please read the amendment in.
House Bill 83, second reading amendment number 3. Delete the Scott second reading amendment.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 83. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment goes in and clears up some question that was raised yesterday about what we're talking about with regards to school property. So on line 6 of on page 2, after properties, we insert owned or leased by a school. That will take into consideration those fears. And also on lines 16 on page 2, the same language. So we're clear, and we've encompassed all of the properties that are owned or leased by a school. And that would bring in all the other kinds of issues concerning school buses and whatever else. So I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. Question is, shall second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 83 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. House Bill 83 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. President, we do have a consent list. Consent list is as follows. House Bill 17, Carbon Sequestration, Financial Assurances and Regulation. House Bill 29, Taxation of Specified Digital Products. House Bill 60, UPMIFA Expenditure Limitation. House Bill 63, Tanning Salons, Minors. House Bill 67, Data Processing Center Sales Use Tax Exemption. House Bill 69, Secretary of State Directives Authority. House Bill 70, Vacant Land. House Bill 88, Public Retirement Plans, Qualified Plan Status. House Bill 90, Insurance Service Contracts. House Bill 102, Livestock and Brands. And finally, House Joint Resolution 2, Resolution, Assertion of States' Rights.
Third reading consent bill, House Bill 17, House Bill 29, House Bill 60, House Bill 63, House Bill 67, House Bill 69, House Bill 70, House Bill 88, House Bill 90, House Bill 102, and House Joint Resolution 2. Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the list? Senator Meyer. House Bill 63 is removed from the list. Any further? Having been read 3 separate times, or no, you call the roll. Consent list. One more time, but I don't say this, do I? Okay, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 17, House Bill 29, House Bill 60, House Bill 67, House Bill 69, House Bill 70, House Bill 88, House Bill 90, House Bill 102, House Joint Resolution 2. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis. Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 17, are there any changes? Jennings, aye to no. Honeycutt, aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Vote closed. House Bill 17. 26 ayes, 4 noes. House Bill 29, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 29, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 60, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 60, 26 ayes. 4 noes. House Bill 67, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Bonflatern, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no.
Hines, aye to no.
President Hines, aye to no. Closing vote. Schiffer, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 67, 23 ayes, 7 noes. House Bill 69, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 69, 30 ayes. House Bill 70, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 70, 30 ayes. House Bill 88, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 88, 30 ayes. House Bill 90, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 90, 30 ayes. House Bill 102, are there any changes? Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 102, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Joint Resolution 2, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Elliott, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 2, 26 ayes, 4 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 17, House Bill 29, House Bill 60, House Bill 67, House Bill 69, House Bill 70, House Bill 88, House Bill 90, House Bill 102, and House Joint Resolution Number 2 have passed the Senate. House Bill 23, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 23, sponsored by Representative Brown, Business Entities Reinstatement Fee, and Act Relating to Business Entities, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 23, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 23. Mr. President, this is a conforming amendment to make this bill match the Senate File 18, which was the limited liability company law that we passed out of this Senate. I originally was going to bring this on first reading, but we were waiting to see what happened to the bill. I'm not sure what's going on down there right now, but it's on third reading today. So this would make the both of them conform, Mr. President. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 23. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. Are you ready for the question? House Bill 23, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe? Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel? Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson? Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer-S,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Bonslatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing, vote closed, 30 ayes.
House Bill 23, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 23 have passed the Senate. House Bill 57, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 57, sponsored by Representative Stubson, Damage to Underground Public Utilities, and Act Relating to Underground Public Utilities, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
There are amendments. Reading clerk, please read in amendment number 1.
House Bill 57, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 4.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 57. Members of the Senate, you recall this is the one-call bill. And it's a combination of a lot of hard work by all those involved to come to you with this bill. I will tell you, Mr. President, that this amendment was not part of that discussion, and I bring this amendment to the body to talk about it, really an issue of fairness. And in reality, what happens, if you're the excavator and you're going to go out and dig in an area where you think there's some underground utilities, you in fact call the one-call system. And under the current law and also within this bill, they've got 2 days to go out there and mark that particular location where the utilities are. So before you dig, you'll know where they are so you won't get into any kind of a problem with that. But sometimes, Mr. President, the excavator does notify the operator, but the operator, for whatever reason, may not get a hold of the locator that's to do the locates, just forgets it, doesn't get out there, so it does not happen. So in this particular case, say I'm the excavator and I show up on Monday morning, I've done everything I'm supposed to do as the law requires. I've contacted the operator that should have been marked, and I go out there with my crews and I'm ready to start work and the utilities aren't marked. And so then I, as an excavator, if you look at the bill now with the reasonable care provision, if I really exercise reasonable care, I'm not going to dig because I know there's utilities there probably, so I won't do that. But yet, in the same sense, I'm sitting there with my people waiting for something that should have been done. And so in the real world, what I would do was call the operator up and say, you know, here I am waiting. You didn't get out here. And chances are they would come out there, or I would possibly take my crew and I might have another place for them to go to work. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And all this amendment does, Mr. President, and I put the word may in there. I used to I had it shall, but it a lot of people got all upset about that, which is positive to get some input back. But I put the word may just to try to level the playing field. So if the operator doesn't do what he's supposed to do and doesn't get out there and make those marks, and the excavator's out there, that he may be able to recover his cost while he's waiting for them to do the job they were supposed to do. That's really what the amendment does, Mr. President. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Standing on and against this amendment. This amendment, as the good senator from Riverton said, it was a group put this together. So there's a lot of input and a lot of discussion. This wasn't part of their discussion, so you wonder why they didn't concentrate on that. But at line 13 of the amendment talks about, starts on 12, the operator may be liable for any costs or damage. And that, to me, is language that would possibly cause a lot of legal costs, may cause or damage. So you don't know what the costs or damage are. They're not defined in here. And may or shall, they may be. It takes the best lawyer wins type of fare there. And then it possibly conflicts with section 37.12.302F, which is on page 13, which deals with, except as hereafter provided, no excavator shall make or begin excavation without first notifying. And in there it says we put in reasonable care. So he doesn't get the notification. There's nothing in here that says the locator, which, by the way, might be a small contractor, and probably is in most cases, may get hung up on his way out there, may have been given bad directions. There's no extenuating circumstances. But all of a sudden, the operator who joined one call, who follows all the rules and regulations, gets the call, follows through. One call sends him out. The guy gets lost, hits a blizzard on his way out, doesn't make it in the 2 days. Suddenly, the excavator or the operator suddenly is liable for any damages which aren't defined and may be liable. It doesn't say he shall be liable, may be liable. This doesn't sound like very good language to throw in at the last moment. And so I ask you to resist this amendment itself. No doubt this group that put this together can consider this language. We can come back and change something. But not allowing for extenuating circumstances is the biggest thing that gets to me. Just because 2 days expired doesn't mean somebody could have physically got there in 2 days. And then to take all the damages and costs, which could be downtime for the excavator, lost utilities because they struck something that went to another town, and now that town's suing, or some large industry has lost power to their air conditioner and cooling. All these things could be put in as costs and brought back on an operator who is following all the rules all along. I ask you to resist this, or as the buzzword for our group is, be cautious about this in your vote. So against the amendment.
Senator Burns.
I don't know if I'm for or against this amendment, but I have been lobbied against it, and I wanted to raise some of the concerns that were raised to me to give the sponsor of the amendment the opportunity to address these concerns. And I'm trying to work around what the good senator from Campbell County said and not repeat what he said. One of them is that the locators themselves have not had the opportunity to weigh in on this issue, on this particular amendment. I will repeat that the question of any costs comes up. So what it doesn't, what are these factors? Is it, does it include lost profit? To what extent are they talking about? The what if the excavator shows up at the actual site? There's no locate marked. Is the operator liable? And then the question about the two business days, that may work well for phone calls because then the clock starts then, but what about emails and fax requests? When does the clock start ticking for that?
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, just on and against the amendment, there's too many unanswered questions here, and it's, as the good senator from Campbell County said, that, you know, on the 11th hour, so to speak, you know, we have locators that operate for small businesses. You know, there's questions of what if he has several emergency calls. There's just so many different unanswered questions, and how this is going to affect the locator and the damages and the costs. And I just think this is too many things out there that we don't know, and I think this is not a good time for this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Bevite, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President, for my second time, just to try to answer some of the concerns. And member of the Senate, understand that this was not part of the discussion on the one call, and I'm a sponsor of the bill. And I would submit to you that it was not. But that doesn't mean that it's not an issue, and it's not something that we certainly should be talking about. I don't see the conflict in 37-120 or 12-302F at all. I think that's part of the reason why I bring this amendment to you, because of the exercise of reasonable care, that if, in fact, they should do something under that definition, I think they're liable and they have a potential problem there. We talked about the downtime and what are the damages. I think it's very clear. If you're out there and you're the excavator and you, in fact, cannot proceed, then you have some legitimate costs that you've incurred because the operator did not do his job. I mean, his job is to ensure that utility has been located. Now, he has an independent relationship with his locator. Yes, they are small businesses. And yes, this is not an intent to go after another small business. It's the intent of this is to ensure the locator does what he's, or the operator does what he's supposed to do. And that is go out and mark those utilities. If he doesn't do that, then why should the excavator suffer all the consequences? Another thing that happened in this bill is we tightened the definition of emergency up. Some excavators are out there and they're in a bind and they want to try to get the one-call people to come out. They won't come out, so they say it's an emergency. Well, it is an emergency to that excavator because he's got his people out there ready to go to work and they can't. Well, we changed the definition because people abuse that. And so now we don't have that opportunity. And this would take away that opportunity for that excavator to do that. Let's don't forget what we're trying to do here, really, is to try to minimize any damage to underground utilities. And the worst thing is to get anybody hurt. And a lot of times we're talking about a natural gas line. It's very, very serious. And we've got to know where those are. And we don't want to dig into those. This just protects the excavator a little bit. And that's the whole purpose of what it does. The last thing is when you look at a telecommunications fiber optic line, you know, if you dig into one of those, it's $100,000 minimum. And that's huge. And go back home to your community and see the small backhoe operator, excavator that's trying to get a little fairness into the situation that exists here by saying, okay, operator, you're supposed to do this. That's what the law says. You haven't done it. I'm damaged. Why shouldn't I have an opportunity to recoup some of my costs?
Question is, third reading amendment one, House Bill 57. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. Reading clerk, read amendment number two.
House Bill 57, third reading amendment number two to engross copy, page 5 after line 16.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 57. This goes into the same area, Mr. President. I only intend to talk once on this. I'm really hungry, Mr. President. Mr. President, the only difference is that this is a $500 fine to the operator. It's not open-ended, so you know you're not responsible for all these damages and lost business and all that. It's a $1 fine to the utility that doesn't get out there and mark their do the locate after 2 days. And it also allows the court to look at whether there was a failure resulted from circumstances beyond the operator's control. This goes at the issue raised by the good senator from Campbell County. So the court can give leeway, but it's a $500 fine if you don't get out there. And it is a real thing, Mr. President, when you have a job and you're ready to go, you've followed the rules that we've laid out, and the utilities aren't marked, and you have a lot of expensive equipment right there. And it's not a balanced situation right now. I think this will help to make it balanced. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question is, shall third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 57 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has passed. House Bill 57, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geist?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins? Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
House Bill 57, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 57 have passed the Senate. House Bill 63, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 63, sponsored by Representative Millen, Tanning Salon Miners, an act relating to ultraviolet tanning devices.
House Bill 63 is a discussion on House Bill 63. House Bill 63, having been read.
I didn't.
There is no amendment.
No. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 63, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geist?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin? Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer S?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
House Bill 63, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 63 have passed the Senate. House Bill 93, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 93, sponsored by Representative Throne. OSHA penalties, an act relating to the Wyoming Occupational Health and Safety Act, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment for the reading. Clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 93, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 22.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 1. But folks, this just goes to the issue we talked about on other readings. You can go to page 2 and look, and it's one word. It substitutes may for shall in the portion where the fines and all the penalties are going to be assessed. You have a commission that I would like to read regulation governing the conditions of appointment prolongated by the commission, the violation specifically determined to be of a serious nature. I'm inserting may instead of shall. I think that's what we have the commission for. I think it will make it to where extenuating circumstances can keep this from happening. And not to belabor it, it's kind of a policy decision, but I would urge you to support.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would like to arise in opposition to this amendment and for just very fast a couple reasons. One is this was an agreement worked out over a couple of years of negotiations, of meetings, of all kinds of people, both in industry and out. And at this late time that we go in and say to me that these people once again are throwaway people as far as we're concerned. It's time we stood up and said that the people that are on the bottom rung of our mineral industry, that go to work every day, that put their time in there, that they do not deserve this kind of statement made about their welfare and their safety. And I think that's what it comes down to. And I don't know what else to do about it, except that if we throw it up, you know, there was such resistance to throwing it open to make the big boys liable in a lawsuit. So this was the compromise, and at this late date, I would urge us to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Rising in opposition to the amendment. Folks, this what this does is strike existing language. It's in the statute now. I haven't heard any real abuses, I don't think, from OSHA with regards to this section. But this section pertains to serious violation, specifically determined to be of a serious nature. It's a policy question. If you want to change the existing statute, I suggest that the statute is just fine and would urge you to vote no.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, is it all right to have a mandatory civil penalty and not all right to have a mandatory criminal penalty? Because that seems to me that what we're doing is transforming the civil penalty from a mandatory one to one that's not mandatory. And I think that that's probably a very good thing to do. I'd urge adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time? Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, it has nothing at all to do with any throwaway people or not to protect them. It has nothing at all to do with any of that. The bill is in there. The bill is a good bill. We worked the bill. This question has come up before, and that is whether there are circumstances, and it isn't. The shall in the death phrase over here remains. Doesn't change anything if a person is killed. Doesn't change anything throughout most of the rest of the bill. But it does where if the violation is there, gives the commission the ability to consider any extenuating circumstances. That's their job. That's why they're there is in the commission, and lets them make that decision. It doesn't take that ability away. It just lets them make that decision instead of it being absolutely mandatory in every case. I urge your adoption.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 93 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment had failed. Division been called for. All in favor, please stand. Those opposed. The amendment has passed. Are you ready for the question? House Bill 93, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I'm going to vote against this bill. Let me explain why. I think what you're seeing is a turning point here in the approach of OSHA to the whole issue of workplace safety. I think the strategy that's most likely to be successful is where OSHA goes out and helps employers, helps employees try to get a safe workplace, identifies the problems that can cause accidents, and tries to get them resolved. And I think they'll have a good deal more success doing that on a consultative and a voluntary basis. I'm afraid that this particular piece of legislation marks a turning point back to a more punitive attitude. And frankly, I don't think that's as likely to be successful. I further think that one of the pushes behind this was not any evidence, and I haven't seen any evidence, that the fines, increased fines, are going to be useful in producing workplace safety. Now, we got down the line and we get the industrial epidemiologist that's been recommended on the job and working, and we find there's a minority, I think it would be a minority, probably a small minority, of operations that just will not comply, then a more punitive attitude becomes appropriate. But I don't think we've seen that. I'm also a little afraid that part of the motivation with this bill is to drive a more punitive attitude on a bill that's pending in Washington that may or may not pass. So for those reasons, I think we will improve our workplace safety if we defeat this bill and do not allow it to proceed.
Are you ready for Senator Landon?
Mr. President, thank you. I won't take much time because our good chairman of the Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee, I think, put it very, very well. I was on the committee that sat through the interim and listened to the testimony of the interim study, and at no point in time was it indicated that in that other state way up north that succeeded in making the workplace a little bit safer, did it take the advent of sledgehammer legislation on small business and the escalation of fines to this degree. So, frankly, I was a little bit surprised by this legislation, and for that reason, I'm going to vote no as well.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hadn't anticipated getting involved in this discussion when the bill first came up, but it just strikes me in listening to the discussion what a departure it is, really, from the provisions in the bill here. I just see quite a gap. In reality, the penalties are not much higher than they were in 1994, 92, the last time that they were adjusted 18 years ago, if we just simply add in inflation. The new language primarily deals with death, if someone is killed on a job site, and that's pretty significant. And even then, it just simply increases the penalty if those deaths are caused by willfully and knowingly violating something, which is a really high standard as well. So I just don't see where this is going to change the attitude of OSHA in working with folks. The old language is still there, willful and knowingly. They'll still take the same approach. We're not giving them longer teeth or a sledgehammer to go in and do anything. We're just simply saying, listen, if someone really screws up, and if an employer did it willfully and knowingly and caused the death of someone, there's just simply going to be a higher penalty as a result of doing it. I think that maybe we've lost sight of the fact that Wyoming has the top, or at least one of the highest, deaths per worker in the United States. And based upon some legislation that's come through, and almost all the legislation that's come through us now, I really haven't seen anything to deal with it other than this bill. So I would hate for us just to simply walk away from that reality.
Senator Vida.
Yeah, Mr. President, I debated whether to get up or not, but a couple comments my colleague from Laramie County made, I thought I should at least address them. And I agree with my two friends from Natrona County. And he, when he talks about willful and wanton, that's true, but there are two other parts to this. And it deals with not a serious nature. So who makes that decision, whether it is serious or not serious? OSHA people do. That's who makes the decision. And are we asking them? It's a serious, serious, tough thing when you lose an employee. I've had it happen. It's been in traffic accidents. You have to deal with a lot of real, just tough issues. And now we're going to have OSHA make a decision whether it's serious or not serious. And yeah, the fines in terms of without the death are low, but look at the penalties we're talking about at the death. It's huge. And I would submit to this body that if you really want to try to help workplace safety, the way to do it is work together and go out and have the OSHA people go into these small businesses and say, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. Sometimes government's answer to everything is just, we're just going to fine you. We're just going to raise the fines. And that's the answer. If you don't pay these fines, we're going to put you out of business because you're not safe. These people are trying to be safe. They need some help. Helping them is not raising the fines.
Senator Sessions.
Yeah, to attend a book club over the infamous book that came out from a writer in Teton County about what goes on in Sublette County with the Jonah Field and the overthrust belt and whatever else is going on up there. And I read the book and I thought about it for a long time, because in the 1960s I married a roughneck and we were part of that culture. We sold everything we owned and took off for Utah State and went to school. We just stepped off a cliff. But I think the difference is, and I'll make it very brief, I think the difference is, and we had lifelong friends that were part of that oil field for a long time. We lost very good friends in the oil field. But I will tell you, I think that after a lot of thought about it, I think the difference is that even now they have, at that point in time, it was more of a family. You became part of a company and a family group, and you supported each other, and you watched out for each other. If you knew someone was drinking too much, you never let him get in that pickup in the morning, because you knew that he would stop at the nearest bar on the way home, if not drinking a couple six-packs on his way to work. That's what they did for each other. They kept each other out of harm's way. They still have reunions. I don't know how many of them are left. I don't go anymore. Those company people still have reunions, those old guys. What's happened now in watching what's happened up there, and I still have family living there, it's become very, very impersonal. People don't know each other. People don't take care of each other. You let people get in those great big pickups and stop at the nearest bar, both to and from. The drug trade is rampant, absolutely rampant in that part of our state. So what I'm asking you to do is, I didn't know what the answer was. I don't think any of us know. But I think what we had here was an interesting compromise. Interesting compromise by industry and people that are doing the work. And that we as a legislature say, we hope that these fines will never be levied. We don't want them levied. But we have to make a stand, people, because it is our people, it's our money that's coming into this state. And they are, because of their work, they are funding the bedrock of our funding policies. So I would urge us to take this stand, hoping we never have to levy any of those fines. So I would urge the passage of this bill. Thank you.
Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, I had intended to speak again on this issue, but there was one thing said that I think does need a response. It was alleged that there's nothing else to deal with our fatality problem. That's not so. You look at where the fatality problem is, 60% of it is highway transportation. The majority of those fatality is caused by failure to wear a seatbelt. We passed a bill. I think the full legislature will pass it, dealing with that particular issue. We tackled the worst problem head on. So we have done something. The fear I have with this bill is that by marking a return to a punitive approach to the getting safety in the workplace, we're taking a step backward and we will reduce safety.
You ready? Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I sat on the committee on judiciary and we discussed duty of care this summer. And in the duty of care, it was giving the people who were injured the opportunity to sue the companies who had hired contractors and subcontractors. The prime sponsor and I sat next to each other during that, and we said, this doesn't sound right, because what we're hearing is people want safety. And we didn't think that litigation, by being able to sue a large company, would help with safety, especially for the smaller companies. So we got together and we decided maybe the way to go about it was, let's look at safety. So why not have a bill for OSHA to promote safety? Now, we've been arguing whether or not the increased fines would do it, but I submit to you, I think we should try it, because we do need to have safety issues. OSHA can come in and help the smaller companies to teach safety. So that is why I am in support of this bill. Let's do something. Let's not just use litigation, and let's not overlook that safety is the primary thing. I urge you to pass this bill. Let's help the smaller companies out there. And yes, there are fines, and yes, they are major. But maybe they will think twice and say, hey, we need safety programs. Let's put safety programs in so we don't get fined. So I urge you to pass this bill. Thank you.
Ready for the question? House Bill 93, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S? Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 15 ayes, 15 noes.
House Bill 93, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 93 have failed to pass the Senate. questions? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate be at recess until 2:30 this afternoon.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the Conference Committee on House Bill 26 Medical Review Panel was scheduled to meet on noon adjournment in the Senate Labor Committee room. We will still meet if our House counterparts have not given up on us and gone to lunch.
Further announcement. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, the Senate Budget Conference, or the House Budget Conference Committee, was hoping to meet with us for a few minutes to educate us, if you have a few minutes before you go to lunch.
You've heard the motion that the Senate be in recess until 2:30 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Senate is in recess.